the Why Tesla Model Y podcast. If you're a prospective Model Y buyer or a Model Y owner, or just can't get enough on Tesla and the Model Y in general, then you are in the right spot. Here at the Why Tesla Model Y podcast, we primarily follow the weekly happenings and news on the r/Tesla Model Y subreddit. For reference, back when I was in the market for a Tesla, I was actually searching endlessly for a podcast solely focused on the Model Y, which didn't exist, so I ended up on Reddit and other forums to learn more about the vehicle. But I've always preferred audio content versus scrolling, especially on my 30-plus minute daily commute. So, if you resonate with any of what I just mentioned, you are in the right place. This is episode 7. It is March 25th, 2024. Let's jump right into it with the post that caught my attention over this past week. The first one that caught my attention over this past week, actually in the past couple of days, is an auto park update. It's funny how quickly these episodes date themselves. As I think it was just last week or the week prior, we were talking about how there is finally an update to full self-driving. It's gotten significantly better. But then I believe the episode before that, we were talking about, is enhanced autopilot worth it? Enhanced autopilot even worth it? Because they supposedly, I don't have it, so I'm speaking from what I see across Reddit. They took away the summon feature. They took away the auto park feature. It didn't exist. It wasn't available for many, many, many months. However, like I said, the post that caught my attention was actually just from 14 hours ago from user shadow-56. The title reads, "Got the new update." And it's a photo of software update 2024.2.11. It includes minor fixes, but also, simply put, auto park. And so this is from the actual Tesla software update screen. Under that auto park section, it reads, "Your vehicle can now automatically park and parallel park in designated spaces. When you're driving at low speed, your display highlights potential parking spaces. Auto park shows a circular P symbol to suggest a space, but you can choose any highlighted space. To start parking, stop the vehicle, press start, and release the steering wheel so it can move freely. Refer to the owner's manual for more detail. As with all autopilot features, you must continue to pay attention and be ready to take immediate action, including canceling auto park." So, the little graphic on the software update looks awesome. I mean, it looks super user-friendly. It's a great visual representation of driving through a parking lot. It indicates all of the cars for what looks like 50 to 100 yards. Any of the open spaces are clearly marked with long rectangles, and I assume, again, I don't have enhanced autopilot. I don't have full self-driving, so of course I haven't even installed this update, nor do I have it. But I imagine with just a simple touch on the touchscreen or a scroll of the scroll wheel, you can just determine which parking spot you want to park in, and then boom, you press the start button, take your hands off the wheel, and it plugs you right into that spot. So a really, really neat feature in that that's for just standard parking, but also for parallel parking. There's another update included in the same one that says there's improved driving visualization, which is really what you saw there on that image, or at least I'm describing there on that image for the auto park update. That update for the improved driving visualization just reads, "The on-screen driving visualization has improved and includes more detail." There's a few disclaimers and fine print below that, but it does look like the visualization is getting much better. It's being able to see a further distance. It's getting more accurate with determining sedans versus SUVs versus trucks versus semis versus motorcycles. So it looks pretty dang accurate and basically what the driver would actually see. So to go into this post, let's see if I can connect it out of the photo. The actual post from shadow-56 reads, "Got the 2024.2.12 update yesterday afternoon. After about 10 times trying out the auto park, I'm very impressed with how good it was at being centered in the parking spot. It also did it in with no three-point turns like I've seen online with the old auto park. The new visualization also detects oncoming and side traffic like full self-driving does, and I only have enhanced autopilot." One of the top comments on here is from Fraser the Lion, and it reads, updated last night and used briefly today. Two noticeable things, better driving view and auto park. So, as I just read for about 2-3 minutes, the auto park update and the improved driving visualization update, according to Fraser the Lion, the most upvoted comment on this thread, seems to be drastically improved. So, continuing on with that comment from Fraser the Lion, it says, I noticed there were more cars being shown at correct locations, more cars were being identified correctly, i.e. trucks versus cars versus vans, etc. I could see the stoplights from further away, the traffic lanes used to wiggle a lot, and that's gone, and was able to see the signal lights and stoplights on all cars in view of the camera. So this was so fantastic and helpful, it reads. It goes into auto parked while dropping my kid off. It was an incredible, all caps, experience. The moment I slowed down in the parking lot, it showed a gray P in the open parking spot. I tapped not the one I wanted to park in, and it took 7 seconds to completely and perfectly park between two cars. Smooth. It just works. Very impressed. So, while the comment there emphasized that this user tried it briefly, pretty positive feedback so far, and that Tesla seemingly waits to roll out these updates, you know, contrary to full self-driving, enhanced autopilot being released years ago, still being sold year after year, never taken away, they just retracted some of those features. But with these updates, as it rolls here on the podcast, week after week, with the full self-driving update, now the auto park update, it seems like full self-driving is really taking a really, really solid position, and now it is potentially worth the money now that the tech and the software is there to actually back it up. Let me read through a few more of these comments to see if any are worth calling out. There's a few folks asking to post the new visualizations. One person saying, I hope to get this on my 2018 Model 3 with enhanced autopilot. One says, I bet it can park better than I do. At some point, I've simply lost the ability to park straight. It's embarrassing. I absolutely resonate with that. I don't know what it is lately, but every time I get out of my car, it's not perfectly centered in between the lines, which drives me insane, but it feels perfect when I'm in the car. It's just weird. One comment here reads, is auto park only for full self-driving, or does it come with basic as well? Reply to that, which is accurate, says auto park does only come with full self-driving, but also with enhanced autopilot, so it's not available for just basic free autopilot that comes with all Teslas, unfortunately. So you have to go with that monthly full self-driving subscription or purchase that enhanced autopilot for, I believe, is $6,000. Is it worth it just for easier parking? Maybe over time. Something to definitely keep an eye on. I mean, now that the software seems to be where it needs to be, at least for auto park and even for full self-driving, which seems to be significantly better, personally, I don't think it's worth the $6,000 for enhanced or the maybe $15,000 for full self-driving. But significant improvements week after week, which is fantastic to see. Next post that caught my attention over this past week, and this is will be a rather quick episode today. I've only got three to read through. This is the second one. This is from user OKView8599. The title reads, Holding out for Rivian R2 instead of my Model Y. The post says, wife has a Model Y long range, not impressed with quality issues and stuff like wipers. Come on, guys. This company can't get the damn wipers right. Rivian R2 looks good. I know it won't come out until 2026, but I'm holding out for it. A lot of sarcastic comments saying, phew, thankfully I can stop holding my breath. Okay, thanks for letting us know. One says, sir, this is a Wendy's. I feel like a somewhat helpful reply here from Overly Optimistic Nerd as the user. It reads, never wait for a vehicle that isn't out yet. Regarding the R2, 2026 is optimistic for initial deliveries as delays are likely and should be expected. Side note there, obviously, as we see over and over and over again with Tesla, the Juniper refresh, the Cybertruck, delivery timeline, build timelines, delivery, but also the price. I mean, the starting price for the Cybertruck, as I had mentioned in the previous episode, was perhaps $20,000 lower than the initial base price that it is right now. This comment continues to read, and initial deliveries will be low volume and it will take time to ramp up. Current pre-orders may not get fulfilled until 2028 or 2029, and that assumes no delays. So, some assumptions there. It's obviously impossible to predict how quickly they can start building these things, delivering the vehicles, fulfilling all the pre-orders. So I'd say that's a total guess there, but it also says, if you have a reliable car, sure, wait. But if you're in a place to buy, best to choose from what is available. It's rarely smart to wait for an announced but not yet released car. Another comment says, my main concern with Rivian is, would they still be around in the future? A reply to that, which I think is fair, is that Amazon will continue to support Rivian for a long time because of their investments and the new delivery vehicles. Also, probably just to spite Elon. So for those of you that I think live in most major cities now, you've probably seen some of the electric Amazon delivery vehicles plastered on the side of those Amazon vehicles is that that vehicle is powered by Rivian. So shout out to Rivian for locking in what I imagine is a pretty long-term Amazon high dollar contract to supply some EVs to Amazon, probably now one of the largest delivery companies, at least in the U.S. So that can obviously lock in Rivian for the near future with a massive logo on board like that. A few more comments read, not buying because of wipers, LOL. However, just my personal opinion, if you can wait for the R2 and see what it shakes out to be, does it hold at that $45,000 price point? Is it eligible for the $7,500 tax rebate? Does that still exist at the time? I don't hate it. If you've got the strong patience that this man or woman has, power to you. The R2 and Rivian in general absolutely has piqued my attention lately. I was all in on Tesla. I'm still all in on Tesla. I have nothing but good things to say about the Model Y. But wipers aside, as minor of an issue as that is and as massive as we make it out to be, there are some basic just quality issues with Tesla that they seem to overlook that's just standard on cars with all other brands. Coming from a 2013 Kia, there's things like, you know, seal around the doors and around the trunks that feels more solid than it does on at least my 2021 Model Y Long Range, referring to the frunk rubber seal specifically. Water gets into that, at least for mine. Took it to service. They didn't help me out. But that aside, I think the most interesting point here is that there's concerns around with the R2, everything they just rolled out a few weeks back in the announcement of the R2 launch, you know, coming in 2026. It's got all the bells and whistles. I mean, it's got basically all the functionality seemingly of the R1S. It's got a few more toggles and it's built out really well on the interior compared to, I think, the minimalistic Tesla approach. You've got the flashlight in the door. You've got a, you know, rear window that actually rolls down. Never driven, never rode in. A Rivian, just seen them from afar on the road. So I can't speak to the build quality, of course. But I think that is a question, is will in 2026 they actually scale back the production models and what's actually built into those? Does some of the quality diminish because they're trying to hit that $45,000 price point? Or, fast forward 2 years when that R2 is released, do they bump up the price? I mean, as we've seen, as I mentioned with Tesla and nearly every single model, inflation happens, production hiccups happen, decisions upon production of what do we include or exclude happen that result in a higher cost. 2 years go by. I mentioned inflation, but again, think of the Cybertruck. It's $20,000 more, $15,000 more than what Elon was originally targeting 2-3 years ago. Some of that's obviously to be expected. 2 years go by, inflation happens. It's part of it. So I think that's my major concern there and why I pulled the trigger back in January on a Model Y, even though, of course, the R2 announcement hadn't happened yet. But rather than waiting for these other EV companies to catch up, Tesla's been around for years and years and years. They've mastered what they do. Sure, there's some minor build quality things here and there. But I went with the sure thing, the supercharger network, the company that regularly releases these over-the-air software updates that seem to have it totally figured out. I was fully confident in purchasing a Tesla, whereas Rivian, granted they're making some significant ground in the EV market, my concern and what would contrast me from this post to having the patience to wait it out for an R2 is the $45,000 price point is so attractive. It's going to directly compete with a Model Y. But will that really happen? 2 years from now in 2026, one, is it even ready to roll? Is the R2 in full production mode starting to satisfy deliveries and some of those pre-orders? Do they push it another year? What does the Juniper Model Y refresh look like? Because you got to think that that's going to be at least announced by next year, 2025. And so I figure that will sway some buyers over to the refreshed Model Y. You got to think in 2025, even before that R2 comes out. So I think that'll cut into the R2 market a bit as well. So my hopes are high for the R2. It looked fantastic at the reveal. The price point is great. I love that they're competing directly with Tesla and giving them some competition. At the very least, just to keep Tesla, you know, on its toes and keep those prices as low as possible for the Model Y. But okay, view $85,999. Salute to you, my guy or woman, for your patience, stronger than most of us, and being able to wait until 2026 for that R2. Best of luck to you. Final post that caught my attention over this past week. This is one, again, breaking my rule again. It's not from the Tesla Model Y subreddit. It's actually from the neighboring sister channel r/Model Y. This is from user Romier1. It just says, convince me. Thinking about trading in my 2019 4Runner for a 2024 Model Y. I commute 80 miles daily. Why should I get the Model Y? There's 38 comments on this post, and obviously this caught my attention, and I read it on this podcast for those that are listening. I know you're out there. I'd say at least a quarter or half of the listeners, especially the new listeners, are the folks that are prospective buyers. So this one's for you. So whether you're switching from a 2019 4Runner or you're like myself switching from a 2013 Kia Optima or anywhere in between, I think this post is helpful to at least shed some light on, is it worth making the switch to an EV, to a Tesla, to a Model Y, let alone a brand new 2024? So I just wanted to read through some of the comments, and then I can share some of my thoughts as well. Most upvoted comment says, test drive it. It's a great car, but not perfect. Don't bother unless you have a plan to plug in at the house. My take, I couldn't be more opposite than that comment. One, I didn't test drive it. Two, I had never test driven a Model Y. However, I had driven, as I've said before, my sister's Model 3, which I absolutely loved. Loved the one pedal driving, even though it took many days to get used to. And so that was what got me addicted to Tesla and led me down this Model Y wormhole that I've been on and eventually led to my purchase. So I will say I never test drove a Model Y specifically, and even the vehicle that I purchased, it was a 2021 Model Y Long Range from a third-party dealer in another state. And so I didn't purchase from the used vehicle inventory on the Tesla site. Side note there, but it bothers me that Tesla does not post or send actual photos of that used vehicle. It basically just says it fits within these specific specs, as in there's no scratches more than 3 inches. There's no, wear and tear larger than 1 inch on the interior. There's no window scrapes or cracks larger than 2 inches. So it's very, very arbitrary and hard to put a finger on, okay, is this a minor, very obvious scratch right in the driver's side of the windshield, or is this something in the bottom right that I'll never even be able to tell unless I break out a microscope? So anyway, buying a used vehicle through the Tesla site, while I've seen and heard great things about it, the ease of delivery, the ease of the purchase process, typically those vehicles are in great shape. That worried me, not being able to see any possible dent or scrape or a vehicle or actual photos of the vehicle to know exactly what I was purchasing. So anyway, I bought from a third-party dealer out of state, never test drove it, never saw it in person. The salesperson I worked with, of course it was a used car, 2021, was great, and that I had them send me photos. They also went out of their way to send me a video, which I didn't ask for, and called out without me having to ask, by the way, here's a dent here, here's a dent here, here's a scrape here, looks like the trunk works okay. They did a full 2-3 minute walk around internally and externally of the vehicle, which was super, super helpful, built my trust immediately with the dealer, that they called out those imperfections, and they also had those buffed out before they even shipped it to me and did it on the house. So Lexus of Arlington up in Illinois was where I purchased that vehicle. Shout out to them. Feel free to hit me up directly if you have any questions about buying used through a third party, but worked out for me without the test drive. This other portion of this comment says, don't bother unless you have a plan to plug in at the house. As I mentioned many, many times, much more convenient if you can plug in at the house every night, top up, you don't have to think about it. With a little bit of planning, as long as you live in a city that has superchargers nearby, level 2 chargers are plentiful at grocery stores, things of the sort. But also, if you are lucky like me and have a Volta free level 2 charger nearby, that's worked out fantastic for me. It's right down the road. I can park it. It'll charge up for free for a few hours. I can walk back over there and grab it, and I'm on my way. So yes, you have to go a little bit out of the way if you cannot plug in at the house, but I wouldn't let that keep you from buying an EV or a Tesla. I don't regret my purchase at all. Again, fairly new to it. Purchased 2 months ago back in January, but no regrets here. Anyway, let me get back to this post about trading in the 2019 4Runner for a 2024 Model Y, convinced me to do it. One of the posts says, bro, my mom has a 2019 4Runner. I know what your gas bill is. You don't need any convincing. Fair point there. That's exactly what led me to a Model Y. I had decent gas mileage in a 2013 Optima. You could throw it on eco mode. But I absolutely love the guilt-free driving of a Tesla, knowing that I'm paying significantly less to charge up my vehicle versus stopping at a gas station. Side note, but I was out in California this past weekend and seeing the gas prices out there of $4 to $5 a gallon. No wonder there's so many Teslas on the road. One in every 10 to 15 cars is a Tesla out there. And it absolutely makes sense out there. Once you get over that purchase price, there's tons of posts about depreciation, which, of course, that happens with every vehicle. I don't think most folks purchase a vehicle with resale value in mind. But you buy it to own. You buy to own it for 5-10 years. Save on gas. You're paying off the car rather than how much you would dump into gas and maintenance, oil changes, tire rotations. Granted, you still have to do that with the Tesla, but all the routine maintenance you have to do within a standard internal combustion engine vehicle, don't have to worry about or do or pay those costs with Tesla. Another comment says, I drive just as much as you. I got one today and it's awesome. One comment from Consistent Chapter 8 says, if you had home charging installed, your fuel costs would drop, fuel in parentheses, costs would drop by 2/3. As a Model Y owner myself, I enjoy not having oil changes. Another noticeable upgrade. 0-60 time for your vehicle, again, it's a 2019 4Runner, is 7.6 seconds, whereas the long-range Model Y is a 4.8, and the performance is 3.5 seconds. And I gotta say, I have the long-range Model Y. That 4.8 seconds, 0-60, it seems so much quicker than that. Some of the best sports cars out there, sure, they have great acceleration, but they still got to shift gears. Even if you got an automatic vehicle, the Tesla, you step on the gas, you step on the accelerator, should I say, and it just goes. So even without the, performance boost, the quicker acceleration, the 4.8 seconds 0-60 in the long range Model Y seems super, super snappy and quick. This comment goes on to read, end of quarter incentive and the $7,500 tax rebate are nice also. Test drive one to make sure. Let's see if there's anything else. One says, quiet, fast, inexpensive to run, totally different infotainment, autopilot. Period, period, period. So basically saying, yes, make the switch. Let's see. Another one says, only if you can get a charger at home. Biggest thing would be saving on gas. I calculated our Model Y long range to compare to a car that gets 40 to 45 miles per gallon. Autopilot's pretty great too. One comment reads, you shouldn't get it, but doesn't go into detail. Let me actually read through this one quick. This is from Mary Band of Pirates. There's no upvotes on it, so bear with me as I'm reading it for the first time. But it's, a contrary point to this post. It says, I have it. The car works great, but would not buy it or any Tesla again. The infotainment system is poor and over-minimizing of the interior to the extent that it's sparse and less functional. I love having electric, and there are a lot of options out there now, but if it's your only car, then also consider a plug-in hybrid. And don't do this at all if you can't plug in at home. So there you hear it for the third time. Again, the car is solid and the pickup and linear acceleration is a blast. 100% agree there. I haven't had any issues with the car for almost a year now, other than some tiny ones identified at pickup that they addressed. But the car isn't comfortable to be in for long stretches. Let me pause there. So I agree. I mentioned it in a prior podcast. I went on a road trip from Austin to Dallas, 3 hours in the car. Was looking forward to it. First, quote unquote, road trip in the new vehicle. My neck was killing me by the end of it. And it's, you look at the seats, it's because the headrest totally slants forward, so there's no neck support whatsoever. Anyway, scoured the internet for a neck pillow. One thing that I always made fun of every time I saw it in Tesla vehicles or photos of them, that's a bougie, non-necessary accessory. However, those were just delivered to me today. For what it's worth, highly, highly recommend them. So much greater neck support. I'm taking another road trip this weekend, so we'll put it to the test, see if the neck holds up better. But I bought the Hop-On Headrest Pillow from Amazon. The brand name is Hopon. They're not a sponsor. Would love them to be. But the reason I got it is, one, it looks exactly like an OEM pillow. Like the color itself, the material is the exact same. I have the black interior as the black interior and the black seats. It's very minimalistic looking. It looks like it's from Tesla. So highly recommended in that regard. It's also got some solid support. The strap that goes behind the headrest is actually thin enough so you can tuck it in and under the headrest so you don't see it. But highly, highly recommend finding some sort of neck pillow for the Model Y, especially for any Teslas, but for road trips, as it'll kill your neck over time from what I found in just a 3 hour drive. So anyway, recommend the neck pillow for comfort and long stretches. But anyway, this comment continues to go on. It says, the limited choices in the infotainment are noticeable if you do anything other than stream music or if you want a mapping option of your choice. Further, newer models are set to be even more minimal, removing the stocks, for example. Should add, the charging network is amazing. I have no range fear in this car. It's just more annoying than a gas or hybrid car on long trips. But the supercharger network is top-notch. You just won't save any money if you rely on public charging. No additional comments to that one other than It's true about the infotainment. I love it. I mean, for granted, I did end up purchasing the premium connectivity because I like the streaming ability for music, for podcasts, and for even the music player that they have. It's similar to thinking back to Pandora back in the day, where you select a genre or artist of your choice, it plays music by that artist or similar to it. It requires connectivity, so I loved it in my first 30 days that I had premium connectivity, and so I ended up not being able to drive without it, so ended up subscribing to the premium connectivity. Anyway, the infotainment options give me more than enough and more than I'm used to coming from a car that had no screen at all. So I'm happy with it, but it does not have Apple CarPlay. Of course, you can connect your phone via Bluetooth, play things through that, but it doesn't have, you know, folks coming from like this gentleman or lady, a 2019 model, which likely had some sort of screen in there, perhaps had Apple CarPlay. Honestly, maybe not for 2019, but anyway, using Waze directly on the screen, for example, I miss, but the Tesla navigation is solid. I trust it with, you know, building in supercharging stops into my route. So infotainment, gets the check of approval for me at least. Let's see if there's any additional comments here. A lot of people are going to bat for Tesla and the Model Y here on this thread. Obviously folks are biased. It's a Model Y subreddit. But I wanted to share that post for the prospective buyers in the room and those listening. I know a lot of you guys are listening for the first time. Listens, plays, followers are going up week by week, so I appreciate you guys for that. But that's why I wanted to read it, is I'll never sway away from that. That's, like I said in the intro to the show, what I was looking for when I was in the market was, rather than scouring the web, trying to get questions answered, if there was a way to aggregate those answers and that feedback and differing opinions, little things like accessories, which there's thousands of on YouTube and videos about it, but little things about, you know, any regrets, can I make this work in an apartment, supercharging, build troubles, that's what this podcast is for. So that's why I wanted to share that post. Hopefully that was helpful for any prospective buyers out there. The Y of the week, the best looking Tesla Model Y that I saw this week. Shout out to user FitArachnid1870. It just says my Model Y long range. It's a beautiful red Model Y long range. It's got a fantastic looking splitter in the front. I don't have one of those on my vehicle. Don't think I'll do it, just because I'm too scared of drilling that on a curb and totally ruining it and embarrassing myself in the process. But for what it's worth, I know it's hard to describe a vehicle in a photo on a podcast, so I won't spend too much time on it. But they got the blacked out badges, full dark tint, including what looks to be on the windshield, to where you can't even see the driver or passenger seat, which looks absolutely incredible. Unfortunately, just not legal here in Texas, but I think also many states as well, so be careful with that. But this is actually helpful. The OP actually reads, here's the mods I've done to my Model Y long range. Exterior, carbon fiber mirror caps. It's got that BMW M Series look to it with the point inward in the top section of the side mirrors. So exterior mods, carbon fiber mirror caps, carbon fiber lip, carbon fiber turn signal covers, blacked out logos, OEM performance rims, 21 inch, so they got the Uber turbine wheels, the carbon fiber spoiler, and then the interior, they've got the Alcantara headliner, I love that one, and a swivel screen, so to make your screen obviously swivel so it's not in that fixed, straight backwards facing position. A few comments on this post were asking for pics from the back. How about some links? OP said they'll post later tonight. I don't see any photos of the back, but for what it's worth, anybody interested in the Alcantara headliner, says it was about $1,200. Well, I love the Alcantara material. I don't think I'd spend $1,200 to do it, but man, I love it. The absolutely perfectly matching super dark tint on it with the front lip, the mirror covers, the red and the black contrast of the Tesla emblem looks phenomenal. So, user Fit Arachnid 1870, shout out to you for winning the Why of the Week award. A beautiful looking car. That's all we got for today. Again, short episode. I think time-wise, it's probably still on par with what you guys are used to, but only three topics, three posts that caught my attention over this past week. Trends that are great to see, though, is that full self-driving received a massive update a couple weeks ago that had significant improvements, at least for the folks that have used it and tried it and put it to the test. And then to see AutoPark is back. Looks extremely user-friendly, really effective too. It seems like it works really, really well. I can't speak to it. I don't have enhanced autopilot or full self-driving, so I do not, unfortunately, will not have access to it. But for those out there that do, curious to know y'all's thoughts. Again, we have an Instagram page. It's just Why Tesla Model Y. There's not much that I post over there. However, if there are any delays to producing episodes, I will let you guys know over there on that page. So feel free to comment, DM me, give me a follow over there for any updates. Also leave a poll for this episode over on Spotify. Whether you listen on Apple Music or Spotify, pop on over there. Give me your thoughts and your answers on the poll. Really all you have to do, it's multiple choice. Just select a few answers. I'm curious to hear y'all's feedback. Even going back to episode one, I've left a poll for every single episode. So curious to see y'all's thoughts on those questions as well. And then again, on Spotify, there's an open forum. As soon as you finish the episode or on the episode itself, it'll just ask, what are your thoughts on the episode? It's an open forum. Leave me your comments, things that you want to hear, you want to stop hearing, you want me to continue, guests you want me to bring in, would like to hear from you guys. So appreciate the support. Appreciate you guys following along. It's great to see listens, plays, followers increasing week after week. As I said at the beginning, that's what we're here for, is to consolidate feedback week after week across the Model Y subreddit and give it to you guys in an audible form of content. So hope you guys are enjoying it. Hope you guys appreciate it. I appreciate y'all's time and tuning in. Please leave me a review over on Spotify or Apple Music. It helps other folks that are in your shoes, whether they love the Model Y, their prospective buyers, it helps them to find the podcast as well. So if you would, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, would appreciate that very much. But anyway, that's it for episode 7. We will see you guys next week.